The boy has a short story, and he has absolutely no connection to what we're learning. Okay? But I still feel I need to share it. After the war, a Yid, who never went through the... can't describe how the sorrows and the agony of the Second World War, he lost everything, literally everything during the war. He went to the Heilige Chazon Ish. The Heilige Chazon Ish, and he said that he just can't, he's lost everything. He can't cope, and he wants to give up. He just can't. He wants to give up. He was straight after the war. And those of us who had grandparents who are war survivors, he just couldn't cope. He couldn't cope. So he went to the Chazon Ish for just telling him that he can't. He just can't continue. And the Chazon Ish then told him the following story. Chazon Ish with his unbelievable ga'onis, and it's unbelievable. The Chazon Ish was just unbelievable. Chazon Ish then told him that when he was in Vilna, the following shaila happened. When Chazon Ish was in Vilna but Chazon Ish was not, contrary to popular belief, Chazon Ish only became famous once he moved to Bnei Brak. He was in his 50s when he moved to Bnei Brak. Prior to that, he was a Yid. He was totally unknown. He was absolutely unknown. He had absolutely no shtela. Well, he had no shtela when he moved to Bnei Brak either, but he was nobody knew about him. Besides Reb Chaim Oizer. Reb Chaim Oizer was the one who discovered the Chazon Ish, but he had to promise him that he shouldn't make him famous. But he was totally unknown. Only when the Chazon Ish moved to Eretz Yisrael, suddenly, as the Reb Chaim Oizer's nusach was, a lion has come to live in Bnei Brak. A lion has come to Eretz Yisrael. A lion in Torah. But prior to that, he was totally unknown. Now the Chazon Ish told him that when he was in Vilna, the following shaila happened. There was a man who sold throughout, his parnasa was to, as many other Yidden, countless other Yidden, he would go once a year to the market, Leipzig, to the market in Leipzig, and would buy sufficient schoire materials, schmattes, for a whole year, and buy all the merchandise, the schoire for 1 year, and sell it on. And the parnasa would be based on that, it would be there sometimes weeks, sometimes even a month or a couple of months in Leipzig, and we buy the whole merchandise and then sell it on during the year. That was a panos of many Yid. And this particular Yid, he was finding it, he intended to go to Leipzig. But what happened was that he was having financial difficulties. It was very difficult for him to actually, it's no point going to Leipzig without a substantial amount of money to buy the schoire. But he went up to the people that trusted him and had a good relationship, and he said, you know what, I need to go to Leipzig to buy my schoire. Can you lend me some money? And trusting him and having that kind of relationship with him, they lent him a substantial amount of money. And it took him quite a few weeks to get ready and to get all that money. But eventually he got there. The night before he was off to go to Leipzig, an accident happened at home. And he fell down some sort of bad fall, and he broke his leg. And it was impossible for him. He was not in danger. He was safe and sound. However, it was impossible for him to travel to Leipzig the following day. It was impossible. And here he was with his money, and he knew that he has to go now. If he's not going to go now, he's not going to be able to earn. He's not going to be able to buy to schoire, and consequently, not be able to feed his family for the forthcoming year. There's no other alternative. So he was on a train, he was in bed lying with his, and he didn't know what to do. So he said, what shall I do? I need to go to Leipzig. I need to go to the, and now, especially now that he has collected all the money that he had to go, he needs to feed his family for the year. So in this conversation with his wife, he said, what should we do? And then, bless Breira, no alternative. The wife said, you know, if, I don't know what we should do, maybe I should do. And he said, yeah, okay, you know what, maybe that's the best aid, sir. You go, I'll tell you exactly where to go. I've been going there for many years now. I'll tell you which wholesalers you go, what you buy, how much you buy, where you go, what you do. I'll tell you exactly what to do. I'll write it down on a piece of paper, and you do as I tell you, and then you're going to buy all the merchandise, and you come back, and everything will be all right. Wife understands this. It's not a first choice, but they have no brera. So she takes exactly all the instructions, and she goes off the next day to Leipzig with all the huge amount of money, and she goes off to Leipzig. As she goes to Leipzig, she's about to go off to the first wholesaler, and she goes and she listens to the instructions, exactly what she's meant to buy, what she's meant to get, and then she asks for this wholesale kind of amount, and then he gives it to her, and then she wants to pay, and then as she's about to pay, after this huge, you know, how much she's buying, this huge amount, she's about to pay, and she checks in the left pocket, she checks in the right pocket, and oh no, the money, she's lost the money. She's lost the money. This huge amount of money that was lent to her in order to feed her, to buy the schoyer for, it's lost. She checks again and she goes frantic. She was absolutely frantic, but she tries to look for it. She searches it. Nope. So now they've lent her the money and she's got no money to be found. To make things worse, they've cut already the schoyer in a way that she can't even give it back to the wholesaler anymore. Schoyer has been cut. Imagine if it's cut to size or cut to the... Can't give it back afterwards. So it's from bad to worse. You can't believe the terrible situation. She's now debt to the wholesalers. She's got debts to the people that money was... And she's stuck over there in Leipzig without a husband, without any help, without no... Totally. Now she doesn't know what to do. Money's lost. She checks, she searches, she can't find... She doesn't know what to do, and the only option is she goes to the Rav of town. She says, I don't know what to do. And then she goes up to the Rav, and the Rav says, well, I can't really help you, I can't help you. Come back tomorrow, maybe she will come back tomorrow, I don't know what to do. And she had somewhere to stay, she had somewhere to sleep. The next day she comes back to the Rav, and she you know, I've got some interesting, I'll tell you what, there's something really interesting happened. There was a person who came... Yeah, after you left, a person came and he told me that he's actually found on the street a huge amount of money. And he was very pleased. He was giving a nice stocker to me, and he was very thrilled about his huge material that he's found. And then this woman said, oh, but that's amazing. That's probably my money. How much money was it? It turns out that he probably is a money. He found it in a likely place that Taka is a money. And she's all excited. But he's like, let's call the other person in. And the Rav calls the other person in. And he says, you know, the money was found. And it's probably hers. And it's, you know, she's under huge distress. And it's amazing news that it was found. You know, imagine her situation. And this person then says, I'm really sorry. Anybody learned Elie Metzias? No, what's the halacha? You don't have to give. Why don't you have to give it back? No, Simon. Pardon? Oh, very good. You've tied about it. Well, it wasn't. It was not Simone. So what's the halacha? She can keep it. He can keep it. So he says, I feel very sorry for this lady, but the halacha is, I don't have to give it back. It's mine. Yush. We know if something is no Simon, the halacha of Yush kicks in, and she was misyash. And then she screams and she says, that's my livelihood, that's my panoza, that's my year, that's my debt, that's everything. How am I going to feed my family? She absolutely says, I'm really sorry. Yush. And no simonim, it's absolutely mine. Give you some stock if you want, here £5. But it's absolute. And she goes out, she freezes, and he says, nope, it's the halacha, I'm sorry, I can give you some stock, but the halacha is that it's mine. It's yush, I'm really sorry. And Rob says, I don't know what to do about it, I don't know, come back to me tomorrow, I have to think about this. Now, whilst the halacha seems very straightforward, he said he wants to think about it. This is all the Chaznish talking. So the Rav understood the situation, the severity of the situation, and he wanted to check with another Rav. And he checked with another Rav, and the next day he comes and he paskens that actually, I want to tell you that the halacha is actually that he goes back to the woman. Well, the person says, what do you mean? There's clearly no simon, and there's no simon, halacha is yush. And then the Rav said that actually the halacha is, this follows a hidden shach, which I didn't know, shach paskens. Now, when do you say, Yush? Now, whose money was this really? Whose money was it? The husband's. Very good. The money wasn't really hers. The money was the husband's. Did the husband know about this? He didn't phone him. No text message. Yeah. No WhatsApp. It was not. He didn't know anything. He didn't know anything about it. So if he doesn't know anything about it, what's the halacha? There's no yush. If there's no yush, no, there's no yush. It's not a good kasha. It's not even yush shulamidas. There's no yush over here because he doesn't know. Yeah, yush shulamidas. You're right. Very good point. But the ma'aser paskin yush shulamidas. He's not considered yush. So the ma'aser, you're right. Very good. Very, very good point. So the ma'aser, there's no yush over here. and he has to return it back to them. So once the halacha was that close from this absolute disaster, it was a millimeter away from the maaseh, he had to return back the money. The halacha was he had to return it back to the rightful owner, which was the lady, and she, Baruch Hashem, was able to pay everything, and she took back the money, and Baruch Hashem, she was able to, and the rest is history. The Chaznish said all this story, it's all the Chaznish talking. And he said, I want to tell you something. You, now after the war, you come over here, you're saying you can't survive this tragedy, you're at the end of, you can't take it, you can't, you're absolute situation of Yush. I want to tell you something, says Chaznish to this person. This is the goodness of the Chaznish. He says, "Who you haven't got the right. Who Yush, where does Yush happen? Yush happens in your neshama. It's in your mind, in your neshama, and you're misyash. You can't anymore." He says, "Well, you can't be misyash because it's not yours. It's not yours. You haven't got the right to be misyash. You're no different than this lady over here. He's not yours to be misyash. You haven't got the right to be misyash. You can't give up. Your life is not yours. And the neshama is not yours. You can't be misyash. It's not yours. And you have to therefore look after it. And you haven't got the right to be misyash." These are the words of the Chazanish, which he tied into that, story. It's not connected necessarily to Tachanun and to the Kaddish, but I still felt it's a very powerful story of the Halakha Chazanish. Okay. Right, okay, Rabbi Yisrael Simkuf Lamed Beis. We are up to the words of the Ramah in Tziv Beis. However, before we continue, somebody mentioned yesterday, and I said we're going to speak about it. I'm worried, because there is no Mefurusha Mishnah Bura and no Mefurusha Shulchan Aruch, I'm worried I'll forget it. So I'm going to mention it right over here. Rabbi Yisrael, the Shaila of a woman saying Kaddish. Who mentioned it yesterday? What's the halacha of woman saying Kaddish? A woman saying Kaddish. You've seen it? What kind of scenario was it? In the Eznoshim, while the man was saying. Okay, interesting. Quietly, good. Lady says a goimel, potentially. Yeah, okay, let's not compare it, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. A lady said Kaddish. Okay. Rabbi Yisai. The halacha is as follows. There is, let me just find it. The halacha is, Rabbi Yisai, I need to find it. I've lost the place now. It was a different... Knesset Gedoyle. One second, please. Yeah. Now, in our editions over here, it's not in Sifkot and Hay involved. It's in Sifkot and Hay. Interestingly, you look in Shari Tshuva, in page Yudalet, so the previous page, in these editions, you will see that on the side there is on the side about two thirds down, he brings a Shvus Yankov. And he says over here, Vim Aim Shvus Yankov, Chelik Basim and Sadi Gimel Shim Eloy Bain Rakbas. The Shvus Yankov, can you see it? It's like in Sifkot and Hay, but I know in other editions it's Sharet Shuvah Sifkot and Hay. It's hard to describe exactly where it is because it's such a long Sharet Shuvah. It's about two thirds down. It says, "I am b'shvus Yaakov chelik beisim tzadigimum shimei loy bein rak bas." If somebody has got no son, only a daughter, loy toy ma kaddish, she should not say kaddish rak, only beveisa, only in her house. What does that mean? The what that? Oh, yeah. Well, the assumption is you do need a minion. Yeah, so, right, so the halacha is, you can see over here, that the Shvus Yankov says that she is entitled to say Kaddish. If there's no other son, She is allowed to say Kaddish, but it must be in her house. She can't be in shul, it must be in her house. What exactly the scenario is, whether she gets a minion there, and as to whether it's a minion of men, or according to many poskim, just ladies, is discussed amongst the poskim. But either way, we can see that there is a posek, one of the great achronim, he's not the only one actually, who actually brings that is a heter for women to say Kaddish. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that she can stand in front of the shul and say Kaddish in front of all the men. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It means that I just mentioned, it could be just in front of other ladies, as the Shul Zakev says, certainly doesn't mean in shul. Certainly not publicly in shul. La Maisa, although one can't deny the fact that there are Gedolim who have reported that they wanted their daughters to say Kaddish after them, it's true, but there's no doubt about it, the minhag is not true. You see, the poskim, actually, the contemporary poskim are very, very sharp against it, and they say that the minhag is certainly not to allow under any circumstances women of saying Kaddish, and that's generally what the poskim say, that no Kaddish to be said by women under any circumstances. However, having said though, we just need to know that historically, there's certainly been such a concept, certainly. Yeah, okay, just wanted, I was worried I'll forget this, so I mentioned the Shai Tshuva here. So Goyman is a little bit different, because what's the scenario you're talking about? How do you want to, well, what's after birth? Yeah. So Goyman after birth is this discussion amongst the poskim. As to whether there is such a minhag and there's a chiyuv. Okay, it's a discussion. We'll actually touch on it much, much later. Yeah. It's a simon later on. It's a Mishnah Berurah speaks about it as well. So, yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yisrael, we're moving on. Yesh loima pitum aktores erev avoike achat tefila. One should say pitum aktores in the evening and in the morning after davening. Ve'oimrim tchilo enkelukenu. And one should say enkelukenu as well. That's the Ramah says. One should say enkelukenu every day. Ve'oimrim ashir shalvim o'yoimrim beveis hamikdosh. Note the word that he said, not beveis hamikdosh, but bemikdosh. Shachis levad. Shir shalvim we only say by shachis. Ve'yesh shekosvu li'zoyer loima pitum aktores mitoich haksav loi bal peh. What a person who says Pitum Aktores, he should ensure, says the Rama, he should say it reading, he should read it, as opposed to singing Baal Peh, by heart, Mishom, because Shamira B'mokim Aktore, the Amira, the fact that we say it is instead of the Aktore, V'chashinon Shema Yidalek, and we are concerned, maybe he will be Medalek something. As the Mishnah Berurah explains, that if a person does, by the Aktore, in the he misses out something, an ingredient, he's actually chayv misa, when he actually brings. So therefore, the amira, the saying of Pitum Aktores, which is instead of the actual physical aktora, we also must ensure you don't miss anything out, verbally. Just like by the actual aktora, you mustn't miss anything out, it's an avera. Similarly also, when you're saying it, you have to ensure that you don't miss anything out. That's why you have to say it, mitoy chaksav, you have to actually read it. Read it as opposed to say it by heart. Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah, Seif Cotton.
What's the difference between the Ketores in the morning and the beginning of Shabbos?
So Mishnah Berurah addresses, I think that's what you mean to say. Voikach atfis, if cotton you dalit, Vitoichin, Lomani Oimri Moisa, Bishabbos, Yomtev, Acha Musaf. Why do we say it on Shabbos and Yomtev after Musaf? Vahalo Aktoris, Kudemis le Musaf, and Likul Alme, Vishaich le Korban Tomit. Doesn't Aktoris, shouldn't it come before Musaf? Because it's Shaich to Korban Tomit of Shachis. Vahavshad, the Kamonasin, the Lipote, Mitoichti, Vitoira. The reason why we're saying it at the very end of davening is to finish, because we are saying it as Talmud Torah. And we're finishing the davening with Torah. V'ksovim isa sh'atam, and the Ari says that the reason is la'avriach ha'klipois, a Kabbalistic concept of shooing away the klipois. V'shlokas avlam u'kodin tefillah v'achreo. The whole idea of singing prior and after davening, that comes from the shlok. So me'ikra din, says the Mishnah Berurah, you only need to say Pitum Aktores once. However, the shlok says, one should say it, it's not, one should say it before and after davening. There is something about the circle of starting and finishing davening with the same thing. That's why many of the minhag, that's right. The reason why the minhag is to say Adonai Olam, really, to say it twice at the beginning and at the end of Shachar is to finish off the circle. Finish off the circle, we're starting davening with Adonai Olam and finishing off as well. Right, so similar here as well. Slightly different nusach. Yeah, I don't know what the reason for that is. Yeah, yeah. It is. I don't know what the background to that is. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm telling you from Mr. Arnold Cohen, who used to be president of the Federation, that he said the only reason they don't lump and in Dublin is because there used to be an English cousin a long time ago who understood the other Kailan in Shul and that Tanya Dunlum had some sort of Kaka Rukua and that he wanted to say it at the end of Dublin because people always come back to Shul and they didn't know to say it. So he said it as
people
should get into the habit of saying it because it helped them report.
Really?
And it caught on across Europe from that.
Really?
That's what it's going to.
Interesting. Never heard of that? Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Okay. It sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah here, it sounds like. It probably sounds like at the end, actually. What do you think? Yeah, you're right, definitely. No, you're right. You're right, but from this Mishnah Berurah, there's maybe a shtickle mark. I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? I'm just following this Mishnah Berurah over here. Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that from this Mishnah Berurah over here, probably it appears that it's probably... Or maybe not necessarily. I'm just thinking. It's true that he says over here, it's better to say it at the end because to be messiah with to be Torah. It could be that we. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It's probably the minig is certainly not like that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Kotnan, Shema Yidalek, Seif Kotnan Yudzayin. Beveis Yosef mefakpek b'ze, talo yein misa le ba'aktorah v'loi ba'amira. And I mean, Beveis Yosef asks a question. He says, hold on a second, what do we say that? By the Pitum Akhtoros, you have to read it. The reason why you have to read it is to ensure that you don't miss anything out. He says, what do you mean? If you miss out actual physical Akhtoros, that's when it's Chayiv Misa. If you don't say something, you're not Chayiv Misa, asks the Beveis Yosef. Void. Additionally, then misa la b'meizit. Misa is only b'meizit if you willingly want to skip something. V'lochen ha'medaktikin noeg l'omru b'chol yoyim, and therefore the medaktikin are not particularly careful. And if it's not minaksav, it's not baksav. It's balpe. It doesn't really matter. From a klaf.
Yeah.
That's not brought down in the poskim. That's not brought down in the poskim. It's an additional. Yeah, I mean, the starting point is probably this idea of having mitoch haksav, not mitoch baal peh. But that's probably the starting point, and you want to read it. But why daf go and clap? That's an additional. Right, okay, and now we are finishing the davening. I didn't finish quite the more. Sorry, just one second. V'yesh kosvu. We're concerned that he's going to skip one of the samonim, one of the ingredients. And we say chayv misa im chesa echad mesamoneo. And if a person misses out a person, it's like a chayv misa. And that's what the Mishnah asks on that. That's only if you physically don't bring, with regards to speaking it out, saying it. If you miss something out, you won't be chayv misa. Therefore, the minhag is, yeah, even on Chodno to say that's what you're addressing, Taka. Shemarin lemelachton, we hurried to work. Chashilon shem eidalek, we are concerned, maybe he's going to skip. V'kshiyotzim beis haknesses, oymar Hashem nacheini, v'goyimah mishtach v'yotze. So, your question is obviously only with regards to, specifically with regards to Shabbos, Taka. Okay, Al Kaponim said the Gemara says that based on this, that's where the meaning comes from. Obviously, on weekdays, Taka, because we are concerned, maybe he's going to skip something, he's going to leave something out, and if he leaves one of the ingredients out, we chayv misa. So similar to when we say it, we're concerned, maybe he's going to leave something out. So the Mishnah Berurah says there is an Indian of It's printed in the Sidurim. It's printed in the Sidurim, and Mishnah Berurah says, Mishtach Mevyoitzin, the Mikdash Namik, Shigomru Avoida, or Mishtach Mevyoitzin. Now, if a person goes out, God, the Beis HaMikdash was also a concept of being Mishtachave, to Ba'adan, Beyoitzim, and leaving. There were specific places in the Beis HaMikdash where a person would actually Ba'adan as he's leaving the Beis HaKnesses. Similarly, also, when you say the relevant Psukim, you go out and you Ba'adan, here again, it's printed in the Sidurim, but you don't see many people being makpid on that. There are people, but it's generally Hashem Lacheni. Yeah, I mean, I've seen people doing it. You're right, it's generally not done. I mean, Ramon says one should do it. I've seen people doing it, but it's definitely not what most people do. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we covered tonight, we spoke about Kaddish being said by a woman. We then spoke about Pitum HaKtores, that it should be said after davening. En Keloi Keinu, Shir Shalvim Oim Breis HaMikdosh. And then we spoke about Pitum HaKtores has to be read, and we said that somebody who doesn't read it, it would be, if it's not read, but it's a Baal Peh, Wakon Sechem HaYidaleg. And if he skips something, he'll be chayiv misa. We learn, therefore, the minig is not to say it on weekdays, because we are concerned that he's going to rush and going to make a mistake. Mishnah Berurah asked in the name of the Beis Yosef two questions on it. And that's where probably the minig comes from, says the Mishnah Berurah, to only say it on Shabbos. Okay, good evening, Rabbi Stein, and a very good Shabbos.